Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're here at the last day of the last week of Easter. This is the seventh week we've been celebrating Easter, and we're making our way into the great celebration of the Feast of Pentecost, that great, precious promise of the Father that is fulfilled and poured out for all those who open their hearts to the gift of repentance and baptism and salvation. And it's Acts chapter 2. I thought it might be worthwhile just reading through the story today of Pentecost to kind of get us primed for the celebration this weekend. And I hope you have time to really take in the day. I mean, I know there's just so many distractions. One of the things I've been thinking a lot about is priests tell me regularly that one of the biggest challenges that people are facing about going to church is that Sundays are so busy with sports, in particular, kids going in 10 different directions and other things. But I want to encourage you, friends, to really, really this weekend make an exception. You can get to Mass, even if kids do play sports. I know, I mean, my kids did. You always found a way. But to really somehow with your family set aside Pentecost, some time on that day to just be together as a family and to pray, to ask the Holy Spirit to fill you with the graces of Pentecost and your children. Pray over your children. As parents, you can do that, you know. Pray over your children for more of the Holy Spirit. But Acts chapter 2 says, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. Pentecost, as maybe you already know, was a Jewish feast. It was a harvest feast. It was celebrated. And so Jews from all over the world would come to Jerusalem to celebrate that feast. So it's populated with Jews from all over the world. And then also it became a day when they celebrated the giving of the law. Those two things are being fulfilled in this story and the unfolding of the reality of Pentecost, because a harvest of souls is brought about through the preaching of the apostles on this day and going forward. And then the new law is the Holy Spirit. The new law is the Holy Spirit. The prophets told us, you know, the word of God came to us that God would put his law into our hearts and remove hearts of stone, give us hearts of flesh, and his Spirit would be within us, giving us a capacity, a power, a hunger, awareness, and a reality to be able to love God as a child of God. Verse 2, and suddenly a sound came from heaven like a rush of mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Remember, Jesus had told the apostles before he left, you know, wait, told them about their mission, but he said, don't go out on your mission until you receive power from on high. I will clothe you with power. Wait. And they're waiting in the upper room, and Our Lady is with them. And it says, and there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributed and resting on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Isn't that interesting? Speaking in a new spiritual language they were giving. It's one manifestation here of the gift of tongues. You know, one gift of tongues is a personal prayer that St. Paul talks about, that we don't pray in words, but we pray in the words given to us by the Holy Spirit. And those are words that people cannot understand without the help of the Holy Spirit. It's a personal prayer from the human heart, human spirit to God. But here's something different is going on. This is a spiritual gift in which we'll see people are hearing, people from all different parts of the world are hearing Peter as he's preaching. He's either preaching in their tongue, in their language, he's given grace from God to do it, or they're all hearing Peter at one time in their own native language. That's also another possibility. And both of those things have happened. I've seen them happen, not quite like this, and then heard from very, very reliable people experiences they've had with something like this. So verse 5, now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men of every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. And they were amazed, and they wondered, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. This is really important to understand. This is the mission of the Holy Spirit. This is why the Holy Spirit is the first agent of the church's mission. The Holy Spirit sends is the power that moves us, inspires us, and helps us proclaim the mighty works of God, the reality of who God is, what he's done, Jesus. So the central proclamation of the apostles became Jesus Christ is Lord, which I'll touch on maybe if we have a little time at the end, but the proclaiming the reality, Savior, he's the anointed Messiah, and he is the Lord of all power and authority in heaven and earth belongs to him. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others mocking said, they're filled with new wine. They're drunk. Then verse 14, but Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Isn't it important? It's Peter. We see this again and again in Peter's life, both in the Gospels and in the Acts of the Apostles. Peter was often the first. So he was the one appointed by the Lord. He's the first pope. He lifted up his voice and addressed them, saying, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days it shall be, God declares. This is Joel the prophet. Peter's quoting him. God declares that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Yes, and on my men servants and my maid servants in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and moon into blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and manifest day. And it shall be that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So Peter's quoting this passage from Joel, and it's the promise of a time, a special time of an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the end times. You know, we are in the end times. The end times is the time of the church between the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the church being born, and Jesus coming again in glory to destroy the devil and establish his kingdom on the earth. So we literally are in the last days. So this is the time of the Spirit. The Catechism teaches us this. These are the days of the Spirit when people are receiving these gifts of the Spirit, prophecy, healing, visions, dreams, all these things. This is a normal part of the Christian life, actually. It's meant to be understood by all the people of God. Not everybody has all these gifts, but we understand their importance and their presence. And right there on the day of Pentecost, Peter's interpreting its meaning, but also includes here talking about the day of the Lord that's coming. That's the final judgment. And that what's being offered is salvation, he's saying, that anyone who calls on the name of the Lord now might be saved. So this is the reality of what the church is coming into. So the fulfillment isn't just the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in gifts, but it's the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that's bringing salvation to the world, that's calling people to repentance before that great and terrible day. Verse 22, men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs which God did through him in your midst. God confirmed Jesus' preaching through those signs. As you yourselves know, this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by hands of lawless men, but God raised him up, having loosed the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held down. Here Peter's beginning what's called the kerygma, the primary, central, most important preaching of the whole church. Jesus Christ, whom God has sent, he proclaimed the kingdom. You killed him and God raised him. Death could not hold him down. Death could hold every human being down, ultimately, but not Jesus. This is what Peter's proclaiming. He's risen from the dead. Verse 25 is a section here. He talks about how Jesus is fulfilling the prophecy on the Psalm of David. But I'm going to jump down to verse 29. Brethren, I may say to you confidently of the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day, being therefore a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants upon the throne. He foresaw and spoke of the resurrection of Christ in that psalm. You have made known to me the ways of life, and you will make me full of gladness in your presence. So Jesus is the fulfillment of the promise that David received from God. He foresaw and spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. And now here's the core. It begins with the declaration of the historical fact. Jesus is alive, and we've seen it with our own eyes. Verse 33, being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, he was raised from the dead, and we celebrated the ascension. He ascended on high to the right hand of God. He's exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this which you now see and hear. There's a summary of this kerygma, this fundamental declaration. This is the life-changing preaching. Everybody needs to hear this, every single person on the planet, and to give them a chance to be able to say, yes, I agree, I understand, Christ is risen. So the Holy Spirit gives confirmation as the preaching is going forward. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Now, Peter, verse 36, let all the house of Israel therefore know assuredly that God has made him, Jesus, both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you've crucified. This is the ultimate reality of the plan of God. You killed him, God raised him from the dead, and he's exalted him, and he's now Lord. That means, friends, all power and authority in heaven and earth belong to Jesus. Every knee must bend and every tongue will confess to the glory of God that Jesus Christ is Lord, either willingly or against their will when he comes again. Every knee will bow. He is the Lord, he is the King, and he's the Christ. He's the anointed one who pours out the Holy Spirit. Anointed with what? The Spirit, enabling us to become children of God. And his name is Jesus, which means Savior. And they were moved by the Holy Spirit, it says. When they heard this, they were cut to the heart. That's the work of the Spirit. They said, brethren, what shall we do? Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all that are far off, everyone whom the Lord calls to him. And he added thousands to his name. That way, and he calls him, he says, be saved from this crooked generation, Peter says. That's it. Repent, be baptized. In the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit to become a child of God. That's what Peter's talking about. That's the essence of the church's mission. Have a blessed weekend and celebrate Pentecost with all your heart.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future. And it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.